Good morning and welcome to All Things Jessamine. I'm Doug Fain. On today's program, we're going to be talking about a couple of people who were involved with Jessamine County Schools years ago. They were married, Charles and Ann Darty. He was a teacher, she was a guidance counselor. We're going to be talking to their son, Hunter Darty, along with Ann's brother, Jim Barney Hunter. We'll do that right after this word from our friends at the Farmers Bank.
Beginnings are important, especially when it comes to building a future. From start to finish, Farmers Bank of Jessamine County will be with you every step of the way. Whether it's a house, a car, a college fund, or saving for retirement, it all starts here. Stop by any of our four convenient Jessamine County locations today or visit us on the web at myfarmersbank.net. Banking with friends and neighbors, Farmers Bank of Jessamine County, equal housing lender, member FDIC.
Good morning and welcome to All Things Jessamine. Glad to have you along on this Saturday morning as we continue to remember people, places, and things about Jessamine County. Today, we're going to be talking about a couple different things. First off, if you were involved with Jessamine County Schools, and I'm talking about back before it became East and West, back when it was Jessamine County High and things like that, you probably remember a couple who were involved in those schools named Charles and Ann Darty. Now, Charles was a teacher, I think, and Ann, I remember her as a guidance counselor when I was at Jessamine County High. We're going to incorporate that into Ann's family, which owned Hunter Hardware, which was a place here in our county years ago, too. So with me today to do that, I have two people. I have the son of Charles and Ann Darty, Hunter Darty, and I have the brother of Ann Darty, Jim Barney Hunter. Good morning, gentlemen.
Good morning, Doug. Good to be here.
Glad to have you as we start talking and remembering your family. Now, I guess the best place to start, maybe we can do either side. We can do the Dartys or the Hunters. So let's just do the Dartys first, I guess. Hunter, talk a little bit about your dad. Where did his family come from? How did he come to be? And maybe how did he meet in you? I don't know. You might be able to tell this story better than you, how they got together.
Barney can probably tell the story a little bit better than I can about how they got together. Mm-hmm. But Dad's family, I think, came up from Jackson County into Madison County.
Yeah.
Lived down around Valley View, both his father's side and his mother's side. I didn't know my grandfather on that side. Well, he died, I think, the same year my parents got married in 1947. Mm-hmm. But he was a dentist here in Nicholasville and I think had a practice in Lexington for some period of time. Barney might remember, but I think his office was pretty much right downtown, maybe near the Farmers Bank building. But he practiced here and I think I had a fairly successful dental practice. My grandmother on my father's side was Hallie Hill, who also was from that area around Valley View. Mm-hmm. They married, had two children while they lived in Valley View, Moss, Dad's oldest sibling, and Blanche. And I know you're going to be talking about education here in Jessamine County. And mm-hmm. Blanche, who later married Walter Hovater, was an educator. She was a teacher as well.
Okay.
And then Dad had another sister, Lorraine, who married Joe McMurtry, who ran Drug Mart.
Mm-hmm.
And she was 2 years older than Dad. But Dad was born in 1918. Mom was born in 1926. So there was a little age difference there. But Dad's family basically came out of Valley View and then was here in Nicholasville.
So your dad was born here in this county?
Yes, he was. In, okay. And the older siblings were born in Valley View. And then Dr. Darty and my grandmother moved to Nicholasville, where he started his dental practice. And Lorraine and Dad were born here in town.
So your dad, born, went in the Jessamine County school system then.
Right.
I assume would have graduated from Nicholasville High?
That's right.
Okay. Then where did he take him from there, school-wise?
Well, I know he graduated from the University of Kentucky. Mm-hmm. And probably did that, I would guess, on the GI Bill. I think he finished up after he got out of the Army Air Corps. He was there until the war was over. He didn't see any combat.
Yeah.
I think he was mostly in the Southwest around El Paso and in New Mexico. But when he got back, and that would have been in 45, and then he and Mom got married in 47. So I know he taught some school after he graduated from UK, and then he also worked down in my grandfather's hardware store. Mm-hmm. And that's the first job that I remember him having. And he did that until I was going into the first grade when he started teaching at Nicholsville Elementary, social studies, seventh grade. And that was the same year my mother started teaching also at Nicholsville Elementary, and she taught fifth grade.
Okay.
But she had taught, both of them had taught out in the county. I know Dad taught at Pollard for a while, and Mom taught, I think, at Chrisman Mill and maybe Sulphur Well, but that ran in the family, I guess.
So did their teaching start prior to marriage?
No, it didn't start prior to marriage, but they taught, as I said, out in the county before they ended up in Nicholsville Elementary.
Well, you mentioned your dad working at your grandfather's hardware store. Now, that would be your mother's dad.
That's right.
Okay.
That's Hunter Hardware, and that's why Barney's here.
And let's switch gears a minute and talk about Ann for a minute. So you're a brother to Ann. Tell us about your parents, how they ended up here, and the siblings, and then we'll get on into Ann and her education and how she got to be.
Well, historically, the Hunters, supposedly, and according to the Jessamine County history book, which I researched it again to be sure of what I was talking about, that there were eight Hunter brothers. Three were the three original settlers, John, Jacob, and Samuel.
Right.
The original settlers down in southeastern Kentucky on the Kentucky River. I guess they floated down the river and established camp. And one of them, John, had the first non-American, non-Native American child born in Jessamine County, what became Jessamine County. His name was Moses, and that name was handed down through the years. Ann and Charles and my wife Molly and I went out to what was, I think, the Cobb farm, related to Ralph Cobb's mom, many years ago. We dug through underbrush and bushes and trim stuff and finally found gravestones, head markers of James Hunter, his wife, Ann, and several other members. And they were extremely hard to read. They're over 200 years old in the late 1700s. So we found those and patted ourselves on the back that we had located some family heritage. So then the Hunters settled, later came to Nicholsville, I guess. But anyway, Daddy John Hunter had one child named Moses, and that name was passed down through the generations to my dad's brother, who was, or his uncle, who was Uncle Bob, Robert Moses Hunter. Well, it was kind of interesting. And then James Hunter, who died, and I think his gravestone was marked 1794.
Wow.
And that name, James, has been passed down through multiple generations to me. Then Dad's father and his Uncle Bob had the hardware store, Hunter Hardware. And it was dated back to when they had buggies and before, about the time automobiles came in. But it was an old store and been around a long time. So when Uncle Bob, Dad's Uncle Bob, died, Dad bought that half of the interest. Then when his dad died, Dad inherited, and his sister, Emma Mae Farah, inherited the other half, and he bought Emma Mae out. So he ran the hardware store, and he was the oldest John Deere dealer, not him age-wise, but the oldest John Deere dealership in the state of Kentucky. So they ran that, and somewhere along the line, I think my dad realized, well, Ann wasn't interested in the hardware business. Son Barney was not a quintessential salesman like my dad was, who could sell anything and was great. And he realized I wasn't going to take up that job. So he then tried to hopefully get Charles involved in the hardware store. And Charles tried it for a while, but his calling was education and administrative things in education. So he got out. So then Dad kept the hardware store for a number of years. And then later he retired, sold it to Stratton and Turstage out of Louisville. So my sister and I were never involved, but Hunter's family for a short period of time were involved as Dad.
Tell everybody where the hardware store was located.
Hardware store was at, I think, Doug, it was 114 or 116 North Main Street. It's on the National or the Kentucky Historical Register. It's where Coach Light Antiques was.
I'm sorry. Oh, well, I guess the numbers, because that's the odd side, so they probably changed the numbers.
Okay.
So it's where Coach Light is, which, interesting enough, up on the wall has, I guess, the Hunter Hardware sign.
Okay.
Did you know that?
No.
Yeah, you need to go in there because they have got up on the wall the old Hunter Hardware. I don't know what it's made of. I don't think it's metal. It may have been the one that did they have a sign that lit up?
I recall.
But anyway, I remember going in there one day and looking up and seeing that jewel, and they had recovered it from somewhere. And I think the guy that owns it, is it Jesse LeMay, told me that Hunter Hardware used to be there at one time.
Right.
Yeah, well, when mother sold it, she sold it to a guy named Ron Turner, who was a developer in Lexington, electrical business. And my mother was auctioning the store off. And Ann and I, Ann Charles probably, and we were all down there. And the auctioneering wasn't going very well.
Yeah.
So this fellow walks in, starts bidding, and ran the bid up some, and kind of an interesting story. So he bought it. We later introduced ourselves, and it was Ron Turner. And we said, you didn't even look at the store. Have you been here? No. I was just riding through town and saw an auction and looked like an interesting piece of property, so I bought it.
Oh, my goodness.
So he turned it into the antique mall and rented space and did quite well.
Wow.
And I think Ann and I were responsible for some of the upkeep because he was had the loan on us. But he was an interesting guy. And that was a quite large store, two stories, furniture and things upstairs, and all the hardware and sports equipment downstairs. And then on the other side of First Street was the John Deere dealership.
That's a big building.
Yeah,
it really is a big building. And I heard your interview with Landy Dale, and he was talking about the town branch and how it ran under Farmers Bank. And it runs right under the hardware store. Mm-hmm. And back in those days when Nicholsville flooded, I remember hearing stories from my grandfather that they'd have to go down and get all the merchandise up off the floor, get it up on the shelf, sometimes drill holes in the floor in order to let the water out from those floods.
Yeah. Wow.
So it was a big store, though, and very interesting. In the back, there's an old elevator that's rope and pulley system, a platform that's probably 12 by 12, and I guess they got furniture and equipment and other things like that and lift it up to the second floor.
Upstairs.
Yeah, I guess it's still there. I don't
know. So let me get this straight. Now, did your dad, Charles, did he work at the store prior to marrying your mom?
No.
That was after.
Yes.
Okay, so then I'll back up the road here just a little bit. How did Ann and Charles meet? Do you know? Do you remember as a brother how that all came about?
Well, Hunter wouldn't remember, but...
Yeah, right.
Ann was 10 years older than me.
Uh-huh.
So I didn't know him keep up a lot because I was 11 or 12 years old, probably, or 10 or 11 when they met.
And older sisters don't necessarily want little brothers hanging around anyway.
Pay much attention to you. That's right. In fact, Charles was kind of a big brother I never had. He was so nice to me.
Yeah.
Played ball with me. And he played church softball, and they had a pretty good team. Mm-hmm. And he'd take me to all the church softball games. And he was kind of my growing up idol. I'm very serious about that. And then also he had a convertible.
Oh,
convertible.
Yeah. Is that how he hooked your mom?
Maybe it had something to do with it.
Attracted Ann. I don't know. But he'd take me riding in his convertible and leave Ann. He didn't necessarily have to take her along, but he was just a good brother and later brother.
Right. Yeah. Right.
Now, Dad would tell this story that I know they'd known each other before, but they were down in Harrington Lake, I think. And there were a bunch of kids swimming down there. And somehow Dad ended up taking some of them back here to Nicholsville. And Mom's bathing suit ended up in the back of Dad's car. And he said that she left it there on purpose so he'd have to call her back. I'm sure that one wasn't the case. But
the Hunter, now let me back up. I want to make sure I get all this right, because this is a pretty good web right here. You got everybody connected in the Hunters and all this stuff. Your father owned the hardware store.
Correct.
And you said there was how many of you kids? You and Ann?
That's it.
And that was it. Just you two. All right, so let's go on down the road a little bit there. And we know we're going to get into is her teaching. But tell us what you went on to do. Well, this is about you now.
Well, I was not a shining example of a student in high school.
Yeah?
I guess Mother and Daddy thought there was some potential there, but I wasn't doing too well at what was then old Nicholasville High School on Maple Street. So in my sophomore year where I didn't excel, Dad... Interesting story, because Dad was with two friends. One was A.B. Happy Chandler, and the other was a Dr. Paul Corum from Midway, Kentucky.
Mm-hmm.
And they were reminiscing or bemoaning their children or their boys. And Happy Chandler said, well, my dad's nickname was Posh. No one ever knew where that came from. True name was Robert Manning Hunter. So Mr. Chandler said, Posh, put that boy on the train, send him to Rome, Georgia, and enroll him at Darlington School, which was a boarding school for boys. And Paul Corum, whose son was Sonny Corum, who was playing ball down there also, as were the two Chandler boys. And Sonny later, and Dan also played at UK and sat on the bench with Adolph Rupp.
Mm-hmm.
So the next day, I think after they told him about Darlington School, a boarding school, non-military, a Mr. R.M. Yankee, headmaster, was in my dad's hardware store, probably within 48 hours. So I knew my fate was sealed. But it's the best money they ever spent, and I ended up graduating and later went on to Vanderbilt and medical school in Alabama and came back after a period of training and being in the Navy a couple of years. Came back at the Lexington Clinic, where I still am.
Retired several times, haven't
you? I tried retiring, didn't like it. And I'm sure my dad, I always refer to a patient, that you're still practicing, Barney, doctor, whatever. I said, yeah, I tried retiring, and I said, I know my dad probably looks down and says, there's something wrong with that boy. He doesn't hunt, he doesn't fish, he doesn't play golf, and doesn't drink too much bourbon. So,
yeah.
But anyway, I've enjoyed what I do. I'm kind of dedicated to it. Tried retiring, didn't like it, so I'm still working a little bit.
Well, there's nothing wrong with that. You know, I had a fellow from the local paper ask me one time what my hobbies were. And I told him, basically just what you said, I don't hunt and I don't fish.
Yeah.
I talk.
Yeah.
And he asked me, he said, what would ever happen if you lost your voice and couldn't talk anymore? I said, well, I'd have to learn how to hunt and fish. But that's it. So, yeah, there's nothing wrong with not doing those. You're doing what you love. You're doing what you're good at, of course. That's the main
thing. Hunter, I've often said, well, probably neither one of us ever retire. So.
Yeah, well, yeah, this guy, you're right. Yeah. I'd say you're right. So you've got the position in your blood. You married Molly. Tell us about Molly.
Molly and I have been married for 36 years, mm-hmm. almost 37, and she's originally from Louisville. We met at the Lexington Clinic. At that time, I had two children. I was raising teenagers, so she married into an instant family, and we've been married ever since. She was an x-ray tech for years, later semi-retired, and now still works at a men's store in downtown Lexington.
And your children's names?
Have two children, Jim Hunter Jr., Jim, who lives in Rome, Georgia, really Lindale, a suburb of Rome, and his sister, our daughter Allison Brooks, lives there, and with her husband. Have two grandchildren. Jim has step-grandchildren, one of whom is in Pensacola, Florida. Allison and Jeff, our son-in-law, have two children, both of whom are grown.
Yeah.
One teaches Spanish in Austin, Texas, and others in graduate school at Texas A&M. So.
Georgia and Texas. You've got your travel routes planned out pretty good then for those two states. All right, so you have a sister named Ann. Now, that's your mother, Hunter, Ann Darty. So let's kind of give some family background as far as they're concerned. Her and your dad get married. When did they decide the family should start?
Well, I'm the oldest. I was born in 1953.
Mm-hmm.
I have a sister, Melinda, who was also an educator. She was a librarian at Nicholsville mm-hmm. Elementary for 30 years or so. And then a younger sister, Deborah, who was 4 years younger than I am, and she's in Florida now. And we've just had an idyllic childhood. I don't know any other way to say it. It was just great growing up in Nicholsville.
You know, let's talk about your sisters. Melinda retired.
Right.
And is just taking a retirement life now, pretty easy.
Yeah, but she's one of those people who stays busy.
Yeah.
You know, she's always got things going on. And, of course, she has grandkids as well. And she and Danny Burton mm-hmm. live up in Georgetown now.
Mm-hmm.
She has a daughter, Casey, who lives in Georgetown. And Chris, her son, lives in Lexington. So she stays busy with them. Deborah, as I said, is in Tallahassee, and she's got three children, one of whom is still in at home in high school, and and she's still working.
And tell us about your bride.
Well, I'm the luckiest guy around. I married Susan. She was from Houston. After I finished law school, I went down to practice in Houston, Texas for mm-hmm. a couple of years. Met her there. She had a son, Heath, who was 4 at the time.
Mm-hmm.
We moved back to Nicholsville in 1980, and I started law practice here. And then we had two children, Katie and Laura, after that. And I've got 6 grandkids.
6. What brings you go to Texas to practice law?
Well, I wish I could tell you it was some sort of inspiration, but it really wasn't. I was in law school, and I really didn't want to even go to work then. I thought about going back and getting an MBA.
Because you graduated from Duke, right?
Yeah, well, I don't repeat that too often because you know how that works around here.
But what my point is you're over in Carolina, and all of a sudden you ended up in Houston, Texas.
Well, I was at Duke for the years 71 through 75 while I was in school, and then I came back to UK to go to law school.
Oh, okay.
So I was back in the area.
Okay.
And then after that, three or four friends of mine, all of us had accounting backgrounds, and we went to work for Big 8 accounting firms. They were known at the time, doing estate planning and tax work and that kind of thing. And then I moved back here, as I said, in 1980.
You grew up with some pretty wild guys that we have actually talked about on this program before, most notably Jim Coke Williams and David Hager and that bunch.
Also, you mentioned Ben Doyle earlier.
Yeah.
I grew up out on 3rd Street. We were the last house before you get to the cemetery. And the Doyles live right next to us. Uh-huh. Forrest and my dad were best friends, and Ben and I were best friends growing up. And so we, as young guys, spent a lot of time together. And then after I got up into high school age, then Jim Coke was one of my best friends then. So, but we grew up with other people that I know you've mentioned on the radio show. In addition to the Doyles, the Risks, Brian Risk lived out there.
Yeah,
Chris Kreiner lived out there. Mm-hmm. Tommy Buford grew up right down the road.
Yeah,
Harold Burris. So we had, and the Mosses, Buford Moss owned about 30 acres behind our house. So it was like living on a farm in the city limits.
And well, I just got started to say that when you reached your all's home, I mean, you were in the county.
Yeah.
Now, folks, we have to do this on these programs sometimes because we have listeners who are from here. We got a lot of new listeners that have not been here long. And when I say that, you know, less than 15, 20 years that aren't acquainted with some of our areas. If you go out 3rd Street past Stratton Lumber and just keep right on going, eventually you'll end up at the bypass where there's the St. Joe Jessamine and Lowe's is on the other corner, and you turn left to go to Garrett County. You're talking about that row of houses prior to St. Joe Jessamine, right before Maple. Locust Grove Cemetery, the African American Cemetery. That row of houses is the ones you're talking about, correct?
That's right. We were the last house before the cemetery.
On that right side?
On the right side.
Okay.
Yeah. And Forrest Doyle built his house, and I guess mom and dad said it's a great place to live with the field right behind us, and they built right afterwards.
So. But you literally lived pretty much in the county.
Yeah.
At that time, you know, we've talked before on this program about the city limits and how small it was when you grew up, especially, you know, the generation that would have been born prior to 70 or even 80 for that matter. City limits weren't too big. I'll take it with you, Jim Barney. What's some of your favorite memories growing up here?
I think it was just an ideal small town, and always make an analogy to Mayberry, Andy Griffith, one of my favorite programs. But I can identify with so many things there. Everything was safe. Everybody supported everybody. You probably were guided to be a good child because, one, you respect for your parents. But, two, if you're out of line, somebody's going to spot it.
There was a bunch of eyes on you, weren't there?
There were eyes everywhere.
Yeah.
But just the freedom to play ball till dark at night, to bicycle. I know friends of mine, on a Saturday, we'd get on our bikes in the morning. Might not come back till late afternoon. We'd bike to Union Mill and go swimming or Suffolk Well, and we'd go all over the county safely.
And your parents didn't worry.
They knew you'd be back.
Right.
I guess if you didn't get back, they'd start worrying, but otherwise they'd forget you for the rest of the day. But it was just an ideal place to grow up and such good memories. And things have changed a lot, and not for the better, I don't think.
I think you're right in a lot of ways. Other than Hunter Hardware, give me a business downtown that used to be that you'd love to see back.
The Ben Franklin store, which Ed Martin had.
Yeah. Now, is that prior to Chris Kreiner?
Right.
You're going back quite a ways there. Yeah.
And there was right next door to that was Mr. Hicks. I think it was a Rexall store, but a drugstore where everybody hung out.
Yeah.
And at the soda fountain. But those were our two more memorable stores. And then also Von Grunigan Hardware.
Sure.
At that time owned by John Von Grunigan before Bob Knatzer became.
And that would have been next door to what was First National Bank.
Correct.
Down the street where the radio station used to be. Yeah.
But it was a very nice hardware store. He was also an implement dealer, Farmall and McCormick, I think it was. But he and Dad, in spite of being competitors, were very best friends. They hunted together. They played golf twice a week together. They took hunting trips to Canada, North Carolina, Arkansas. Best of friends, but and also business competitors.
Kind of sounds like Bobby Sellers and John Sutherland. There was a lot of that went on in this community. Yeah. We've had several programs where that same thing has been talked about, competitors being best of buddies, and they did fine. They raised their families, and they had a good business, and they got along.
And speaking of Sellers and Keller, Chevrolet Ford dealers, my dad every year traded cars, either my mom's car or his car. For a Chevrolet or a Ford. But he loved to play games with Bobby Sellers and probably Russ Keller before Bobby kind of took over, and the Sutherlands. And Dad just walked back and forth across the street. Okay, now this is what Bobby would give me. What did you do for me, John? And it was a game to him, and then he was playing it.
And I knew John Sutherland better than I knew Bobby, but I bet it tore him all to pieces.
Oh, it did, but Dad just loved it, you know.
Well, sure.
So he'd get the best deal he could, and I'm sure they still made money.
Hunter, your mom and dad were involved in education for many years. Now, did your dad always just teach?
No. He taught, I think, probably for about 5 years, and then Buddy Adams was the principal at Nicholsville Elementary. As I said, Dad was teaching seventh grade, and then Buddy asked him to be assistant principal. So Dad started then in that capacity, and he did that for maybe 3 or 4 years. And then they opened the Coolidge Building, and Dad was principal over at the Coolidge Building during all those years of double sessions.
Oh, yeah.
And then, I don't remember how many years he did that, but then he moved down here to Court Row, where he spent probably the last 10 or 15 years of his career, and he handled Title I funding, all the federal programs that came into the system.
And now, the reason for that was that's where the Board of Education's office was.
Right, for a while. But then after they moved, then he stayed there.
Oh, he stayed there in that location.
And Rose Fain, his secretary, helped him down there forever.
Now, your mother, as I mentioned in the program earlier, I just remember her as guidance counselor when I was at Justin County High. But she taught for quite a few years, I guess, before that, right?
She taught, in addition to those times she spent out in the county schools, she taught for 4 years, I think, in Nicholsville Elementary, because she moved as I was going into the fifth grade, and she moved out to the high school when they opened that. Of course, Bill Lockridge was the principal then.
Right.
And but at the time, Mom was the only counselor, and then later on, John Hurd came in and to help her out.
If you've ever listened to any of my programs, there is a question that sometimes I ask, and I'm going to ask this to you, Hunter, about your mom and dad. One word to describe your dad.
Oh, boy, that's a tough one. My dad was just, he was very kind. He didn't talk a whole lot, but just always kind and gentle, and he was just a great dad. I don't know what else to say about that.
About your mom?
I don't know if one word can describe my mother. Honestly, she was unusual in that you could put her in any setting, and she would be completely comfortable and make everyone around her completely comfortable. Just had a kind of a composure about her that I just wish I could emulate. But she's a tough act to follow.
Yeah, nice lady. And, of course, it's the little brother probably is what caused that.
Absolutely. I'll give Barney all the credit for that.
You went on to be a judge, and are a judge, have been a judge for quite a few years. Your mom and dad both got to see that.
Yes. Well, when I came back to Nicholsville, as I said, I started a practice. Actually, David Marshall and I shared some space for a while up in, well, above your office now on the second floor. And I did that for about 3 years. And then Susan and I bought the old Robinson House, the White House behind the courthouse.
Yes.
I had my office in there for a couple of years. And then David Thomas and I formed a partnership, and that was over at the old Building and Loan Building. Ken Taylor, another attorney, joined us for a while. And then I ran for judge, and I started as district judge in 1990. I did that for 10 years, and I've been circuit judge since 2000.
So I would say Mom and Dad were pretty proud of that.
Well, I guess so. But, you know, it's just a job like anybody else. I've just been lucky to have it.
Yeah. Well, let me tell you that our time, believe it or not, is up. But we've got kind of a double present here, because when I first approached you about the program, I kind of had in my mind about your mom and dad's education, and I really hadn't thought about Hunter's. And I'm glad that he thought about you, because Hunter Hardware, which was here for a long time and contributed to our community success, you know, there's many old businesses that in my head that really kind of laid the groundwork for this whole town. To me, the heyday was the 40s, 50s, and 60s as far as this town is concerned and getting it to progress. And businesses in that era, such as the Hunter Hardware and the Ward's Bakery and the, you know, all the drugstores we had, Lord, there was a lot of those, from Hempills to Yearwood's to, you mentioned Gilbert Hicks. Was it Gilbert? Was that his name?
Gilbert,
yeah.
Hicks.
To Von Grunigan's, to the bank. I mean, there a lot of people were involved in getting us where we are, and could be commended for doing that. Of course, the Hunters, I've always been told, one of the founding families in this county, even. So, I meant to ask you earlier, I assume then you all are related to Dub Hunter and that family who used to work at Kroger for years.
We are. I think it's fourth or fifth cousins, right?
Yeah.
It was way down the line, and we never could really trace it, but soon likely.
Right, yeah. But you've been around a long time.
Yeah.
Since before this county was a county, yes. Because you said 1794. That was only a couple years after Kentucky was a commonwealth. So been around quite a long time, and the Hunters and the Darties have contributed a lot to this community, and we appreciate that fact that they were here, and Hunter, your mom and dad, and all they did for education, especially at Jessamine County and Nicholasville and the county schools too. A lot of people out there remember them. And you know, as we have talked before, a lot of things you do in your life you just don't realize that people think about, but there's so many people that remember your parents and their contributions and still appreciate, and you've treated a bunch of people too, and the work that you've done is very much appreciated. So thank you both for coming.
Thank you. Enjoyed it. It's a good show, Doug. We enjoyed it.
Thank you. My thanks to Hunter Darty and Jim Barney Hunter for coming in this morning and talking about Charles and Ann Darty and what they meant to our community. We appreciate you coming in also every Saturday morning to All Things Jessamine. We enjoy bringing you the program and hope you're learning a little bit more about where you live. We do it every Saturday at 11 right here on Jess FM 105.9.
In 1934, a brand new house cost about $6,000. The cost of a gallon of gas was 10 cents. And in 1934, Farmers Bank of Jessamine County opened their doors at 200 North Main Street in Nicholasville, and they've been there ever since. The times may have changed, but Farmers Bank is still here, still proud to be the only locally owned and locally operated bank in Jessamine County. Banking with friends and neighbors. Farmers Bank, Equal Housing Lender, member FDIC.